go to a couple passages in scripture, starting with James 3:16. Then I'm going to jump to Genesis 4:8. When you have James chapter 3:16, let me know, please. Amen. I heard half a room, maybe two or three people. I heard five, six, seven. All right, you're going to be difficult. James 3:16. Most of you probably know this scripture by heart, but I'm going to read it in your hearing. Amen. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Amen. That might be what Sister Stephanie and the Murrays was just going through, right? Bible says, for where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Amen. Turn with me to Genesis 4, verse 8. Now we see that manifested. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Amen, amen, beginning of the Bible. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Amen. So when the Lord laid this scripture on my heart, I didn't understand why. And, you know, the good thing about testimonies and coming to church and hearing worship and hearing people speak and so on and so forth, you get a better understanding as to why he lays scriptures on your heart to speak from. Amen. But I thought it interesting that Cain would ask God, am I my brother's keeper? Which I'm going to speak on that or talk about that a little bit later. Because if you ask me right now, if you ask me that, and if I ask some of you in this church, am I my brother's keeper? You better turn around and tell me yes. I am my brother and my sister's keeper. Amen. I'll get into it a little bit more, but I am my brother and my sister's keeper. If you got a problem, I got a problem. If you struggling, we struggling. If you going through, we going through. We figure it out together. The only time that that doesn't happen is when somebody pulls themselves out of that equation. I don't want to be a part of that economy. I don't want to be a part of that community. I can figure it out on my own. I can do it. And the beautiful thing about when the Lord laid this scripture on me is every time we go out of town or we go to somewhere, we get to see where the church is as a body, right? Amen. See, one thing I just noticed in Nashville is, you know, everybody might not be perfect and everybody might not have it all together, but we're together. We're on one mind. We're on one accord. And I feel like the Lord was showing me this morning when I prayed that we are at a place that he's been trying to get us to for a very long time. We should be worshiping him for that. We are in a place where God has wanted us to be for a very, very long time. And today's message that I'm going to teach today, it's a warning. It's a message. It's a warning. It's a warning behind it because the devil is not going to just allow it to happen. Amen. He's going to come against it. See, when the Lord starts moving and stuff starts happening and the fruits of God starts manifesting itself, the devil has to some way insert himself into the equation and try to disrupt things. So I want to use as my title today, I am my brother's keeper. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will anoint the message. I pray that you'll continue to anoint the service. I pray that you'll open up our ears to hear what you desire to convey. I pray, Father, that your will is done today. We glorify you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Thank you all. You may be seated. There's Vanessa. There was Boomer. There was Martha. There was Glenda. There was Gail. There was Luana. And I know you all asking me, why are you saying all of these names, Pastor Marquise? Because I don't know any of them except Vanessa, right? These are all women or mothers in my neighborhood, that though they weren't necessarily friends like that, they didn't hang out and go to clubs and party together, but they all communicated. They were all on the same page when it came to managing the neighborhood, so to speak. Amen. See, you guys, you kids, you stay on video games all night. Some of you will be up in the sanctuary sleep like, because you was on PlayStation 5 all night, right? Playing Madden. I was up all night. I was... What's that game they be playing? JZL ain't in here, or I'd get him. Apex or something. Apex, running through there shooting. You need to get on this game, Dad. Nah, man, because those games make me mad now. I don't have patience for it. I used to play them all the time, John. I remember I was playing Halo, bro, when I first got in church and somebody broke in my truck. And they took the TVs out. And I got home. I said, babe, they stole the TVs out of my truck. She said, good. You shouldn't have been playing that game. Playing too much, right? But as kids, that's all we did. We would go outside. We wasn't on video games like you guys. We had video games, but we spent a lot of time outside with each other, right? We spent a lot of time outside forging relationships, developing relationships. We was a whole neighborhood of kids, and not only did we know each other, through us, our parents knew each other. You know, if what we would do, we'd get up and we'd go down the street and we'd play football in the park. It'd be about 50 kids in the park, and people just ride by and be like, yo, are they a street gang? And we'd be, nah, it's just neighborhood kids, nobody in trouble, nobody up to no good. We just hanging out, playing football, and then, you know, we might retreat to a basement and play some Tecmo ball. Who know about Tecmo ball? Yeah, see, that's I'm showing how old I am now. Yeah, it was Tecmo ball before it was Madden, right? You only had four plays. And you had to guess their hands. If you guessed they play, you won. You know, you had to be real good at guessing the plays. But those are the games we played. But we would do stuff like they had this entertainment center called Celebrities. How many of y'all remember Celebrities? I'm bringing up old stuff right now. Look, see, Reese and Eric. Yeah. Celebrities was lit. Celebrities was a huge arcade. It had bowling, and it had some of the dopest slides and swimming and everything that you can imagine. And they tore it down. But we were kids, about 3 to 4 years apart, some of us. And our parents, because they knew who we was with, they'd be like, go ahead, he could go. Right? I'd be like 12 years old. They might be like 14 or 15. But because she knew who I was with, she knew that I had some brothers keepers. Amen. She said, go ahead, I already know who they with, I ain't worried about it. And she probably had already talked on the phone and knew that that's really where we was going to be, because parents coordinated what was happening. Parents got on the phone and talked to each other about the upbringing of the neighborhood. Parents got on the phone and said, hey, did you see your son over here cutting up? And the mom might return and say, hey, did you slap him in his head? Go ahead and pop him for me. Amen. Amen. You see, it don't happen like that too often no more. But see, when you look at the church, hallelujah, and the kids start running around. I seen two of them up here earlier. I was like, not today. You leave him alone. I looked over at one of the daddies, and the daddy looked back at me like, yeah, it's all good, right? Because I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. And see, it's the good desire of the devil to make sure that he deletes that testimony. He don't want you worried about nobody but yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they all know what we was doing. Man, we had so much fun. I remember we was coming out of a 7-Eleven one time, and the Crips rolled up on us. We wasn't even gangbanging. We didn't know nothing about that. And they rolled up on us, and they was like, what's up, cuz? And I looked at them, and we was like, what's up? He says, y'all banging? Nah, we don't do that. What is that? We know nothing about it. He said, man, y'all show is deep. We don't know nothing about that, but I guarantee if he'd have got out of that car tripping, it would have been a lot of boys that didn't linked up and said, we banging now, right? That's how close the neighborhood was. I wish kids could tap into what we grew up around, because what we grew up in was really a community or a village. And because Pure Apostolic Works has become, oh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Pure Apostolic has become similar to that. It was God's desire to build it and to develop it. And now that it's here, oh, hallelujah, he got a whole community of people that say, I got my brother or my sister. Yes, I know that they ain't perfect. I know that they don't have it together. I know that they may still be rough around the edges and they, oh, hallelujah, but they still my brother and they still my sister. He desires a body that operates in unison. Amen. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and speak. When we got out to Nashville, and the Lord started showing me the mindset, right? Brother Jonathan says, I'm going to be stuck 19 hours. The mindset, Jay's like, no, he ain't. We getting him home. That's the mindset that God wants in the body. Amen. We all come together. Not one of us is going to get left behind. Why? Because if he coming to get you, he coming to get me. If he coming to get me, he coming to get you. We all in this together. Because I am a... Hey, it might be a t-shirt. The Bible says in 2 Peter verse 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but it is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that they should come to repentance, right? I want to read this in Amplified. Check this out. He says, the Lord does not delay as though he was unable to act and come and judge our sin. Catch this, right? We need to understand that. The Bible says he's not slow as if he can't do it right now, right? So the Lord can come and judge you. He can come and judge me knowing that you don't have it together, right? He knows that you still ain't where you need to be, and he can come and judge that sin real quick. But check the second half of the scripture right here. He says, he's not slack or slow about his promise as some count slowness, but he is extraordinarily patient towards you. Did y'all hear that? So I'm reading this, and I'm like, he's extraordinarily patient towards me. He's extraordinarily patient towards you. And then when we walk around and we say we're Christians, which was created out of, oh, hallelujah, I ain't even going to go there. That's a whole nother message. But when we say that we're Christ-like, that means that we have to learn how to be extraordinarily patient. So that means that when people come with issues, it's not you trying to fix it. That's where extraordinary patience comes into the play. Because we're able to be patient with what's going to transpire, patient with the individuals involved, patient with the process. And he says, I'm extraordinarily patient because there's things that you and I have done a long time ago that he could have swooped in and just judged us, and we could have been done. But he says, you know what? Because of my love towards you, I'm going to be patient with you. I'm going to watch you as you develop. I'm going to watch you as you go through your fine tuning. I'm going to watch you as you're on the potter's wheel so that I can shape it, so that I can mold you. All I need you to do as my brother's keeper is to make sure that they stay on the potter's wheel. Hallelujah. But with all things, we must have what? Balance. You got to balance everything, right? Because sometimes we can be so patient that we don't say some stuff that needs to be said, right? It's the flip side to that. You have to have patience. You have to have balance as well, right? You got to be a base. You got to be a bound. Sometimes you got to tell them, hey, man, I love you. I'm your keeper, but you in the wrong. Your poop stinks. I love you, though, and I'm only telling you because I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you. I said it to the young people when they were in here. Look, they ain't your friends if they're going to help you cut up. A real friend going to tell you, hey, man, you already know what that comes with, what that looks like, you know, because I'm my brother and my sister's keeper. That's what it looks like. You see, they always talking about, my kids got this snitch thing bad. Right? They be like, you told dad, you told Brother Eric about that, you told dad. You a snitch. You know what I'm saying? And then they be like, snitches get stitches. Right? But every snitch I know in jail. Right? And everybody that didn't snitch is in jail too. Right? They didn't snitch, they in jail. Right? No diddy. I'm going to get off of that. Word. Everything has to have balance. The Bible says in Galatians, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. That word meekness means humility. So that means that if I see my brother or my sister fall, I don't stomp them while they're down. If they're on the ground, I need to restore them. Hey, you know what? You failed, but let me help you get back up. The Bible says a just man falls down 7 times, but he got to get back up. You ain't got to just watch him get up. You need to help him get up. And if he had to get up 6 times, 7 times, 8 times, you got to be the one that's there to say, hey, get up. It's time for you to be restored. You ain't where you need to be, but we're going to keep moving until you get there. Amen? Bear ye one another's burdens. This is the one right here. Bear ye one another's burdens. Everybody say that. Bear ye one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. To bear, who knows what bear means in the original Greek? Where you Bible scholars at? Close. It says to lift up and endure. So how do you lift somebody up that is fallen and you're not physically strong to pick them up? That means that you need to be in your prayer closet. You need to lift him up before the Lord. Lord, my brother keeps falling. My brother's not where he needs to be. My sister is struggling. She's not where she needs to be. Lord, I need you to step in and help them because I don't have the answer. And I'll do whatever it is that you instruct me to do. You see, that's that part right there. Whatever you tell me to do to help them, then, Lord, I'm making myself a willing vessel. I'm going somewhere with this, right? In verse 4, he says, For if a man thinks he's something or thinks himself something when he's nothing, he deceives himself, right? So when you look at this pattern or this scripture, what the Lord is doing is he's trying to teach you how to stay out of trouble. He's trying to teach you how to be the perfect saint, but at the same time, be accountable for your own actions. He's trying to teach you, don't get so caught up in everybody else's mess that you forget that you got messed too, right? So he's trying to balance them all the way out. So as I was reading the scripture, the Lord reminded me of a testimony. I knew this man, right? He was in ministry. I personally know him. And he went to this brother in the church, and he tells the brother, he says, I need you to come go with me because I need to see if this man is cheating on his wife so I could give her permission to divorce him. And so he gets in his car, and he starts driving, and he's in a car that her husband didn't know anything about or didn't know existed, and he's telling the car the whole time. So while he's telling the car, he's following him, he's going everywhere, and so on and so forth, and then they get to this apartment building. And when they get to the apartment building, he sees her husband get out of the car, and he has booze in his hand, and he's walking into the house, and he goes in the house, he hugs this girl, and he kisses the girl, and then they start partying or doing whatever they do, they close the door. So he picks up the telephone, and then he calls his wife, and he says, hey, I found him, and it looks like you're going to have permission to divorce him. So she picks up the phone, after they get off the phone, she races over to the apartment complex. She beats on the door. When she beats on the door and the door opens, she sees her husband in this room with this woman and so on and so forth. And you guys know what happens after that. She ends up divorcing him because he gave her permission to divorce him. And then about 3 or 4 years later, somebody messaged me and said, this individual basically has slipped up on a dating site and they had saw him. And not only that, another woman had claimed that he was touching or he was texting inappropriate messages, so on and so forth. He fell to the same sin. You can be so adamant about figuring out somebody else's sin that you don't realize that the Lord is sending the same challenge your way. Because you're too busy trying to figure it out for somebody else. Now you got your own mess on your own plate that you got to deal with and that you got to fight with. Oh, hallelujah. See, I could tell you testimonies after testimonies about stories like that. But each one must carefully scrutinize his own work. He must examine his own action. He must examine his own attitude and his own behavior. And then he can have a personal satisfaction and inner joy in doing something commendable without the Lord judging him. Whew. It's powerful, right? This life we lead. Are you still your brother's keeper? I'm my brother's keeper. I love you enough to stand in the gap. I love you enough to lift you up before the Lord. Amen. I hope you love me enough to do it. You know, I might hate you. I'm just being honest. You know, just because we stand up here and we preach, it don't mean that we don't make mistakes. Just because we stand up here and preach don't mean that we don't have dirt and that we don't fall or that we ain't still rough around the edges and need to. But I pray that you love me enough to take me before the Lord and lift me up and bear my burden with me. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says, I'm going back to Genesis now. The Bible says that in the process of time, which instead of reading to you, I'm going to just tell the story. So you have Cain who presents the fruits of the ground to the Lord. And then you have Abel who gives the first of his flock. And the Bible says that Abel, His offering was acceptable to God, and God had respect to it or for it. But he didn't have respect for Cain's. That's what led up to my scriptural reference. For some of you, you already know that, right? So here he is. These two men, they come to the Lord, and they bring their offerings to the Lord. They say, here, Lord, this is what I have to give you. And immediately right off back, if I'm them, I start thinking, well, Lord, you know, he did bring you something. He did come to you, and he presented an offering to you. And as you get down to that place in Scripture, I'm not going to be long today, but at the bottom of the Scripture to where he says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? when I read that scripture, I thought, man, how arrogant is that response? You know, it's like him coming to me and saying, you know, here, I'm going to just break it down. Like, I'm going to use Donna as an example. You know, we're not flesh and blood, but that's my sister. Amen. But it's like something happening to her, and I was with her, and I come to God, and I say, am I her keeper? What was I supposed to do? You know, it's an arrogant statement. When you look at that word keeper in the original Hebrew, it means to guard, to protect, or to attend to. So in essence, he was being a smart aleck to God, and he was just saying, basically, wasn't that your job? Why didn't you protect him? Why didn't you attend to him, Brother Eric? Why didn't you do it, Josiah? Right? But he had slew his brother. He had killed his brother, right? And so going back to the beginning of the scripture, I was asking the Lord, I was like, Lord, there's got to be something significant because he gave from the fruits of the ground, right? Like he gave you some wheat. He still presented something to you, and it didn't have respect in your eyes. Why, Lord, did you not have respect unto his offering? And I've heard different preachings and so on and so forth, and I've heard different things, but when I started studying and I went back to Genesis chapter 3 and I began to read Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that when Adam and Eve, when they ate from the tree that was forbidden, the tree of knowledge and evil, when they ate from the tree, the Lord cursed the ground. So you can't plant something in something that's a curse and expect the Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. You can't plant something in something that's a curse and expect the Lord to have respect unto it. But the Lord said, everything that comes out of the matrix, and blessed is the bee that comes out of the fruit of the womb. So basically everything that came out of the womb, the Lord can respect because it's bringing forth life. But when something is cursed, it's dead already. The thing is what I'm trying to drive home is we got people that's going to come here that the Lord said was once cursed. But see, you got to somehow help them to birth life. You got to somehow figure this thing out that when they come in here, it's not for me to break them down or to tear them down. It's for me to help bring life out of that, because it was a lot of seeds that was planted in the cursed land and in the cursed soil. And we got to make sure that the soil is right. We got to turn it up, because you can go and plant somewhere else. You don't have to plant on a cursed ground. But the Lord said this here. It's only going to happen when you keep that mindset, church. You are your brother's keeper. When they come in here, we love on them. We tell them what's right. We tell them what's wrong. We ain't going to keep them all. But what's important is that you remain your brother's keeper. Don't you turn from that, because that's what's going to keep the church strong. Hallelujah. You say, when they say about a foundation and a house that's built on a good foundation, how strong it is, that foundation is in unity. Y'all ain't excited like I am. Amen. See, for years, you hear Sister J, we got to be on the same page. We got to be united. We need unity. And the Lord is telling y'all that we've touched it. We're there. All we got. See, this is stuff that we've been fighting to get, and now that it's happening, I don't even understand why you're still sitting in your seats. We've been fighting to be on the same page for I don't know how long, and now we're on the same page. He said, now you're moving like a body. They went and hung out. I made a phone call to say, if y'all ready, and they got on the phone. They say, we looking out for each other. We cool. We ain't in no trouble. We know we in the midst of war. We know what's down here, but we all on the same page. That's what that's supposed to look like. Now, are we on the same page in everything? Maybe not. But that's where you still stay your brother and your sister's keeper. They're going to get there right. They're going to be all right. We're going to get there. Amen. I told y'all I wasn't going to be long. Stand with me. Yes, sometimes it be like that. For every person will have to bear with patience his own burden, faults and shortcomings of which he alone is responsible. The one who has taught the word of God is to share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his spiritual and material support. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever man sows, this and this only will he also reap. What you put out is what you're going to get back. You put out division, you're going to get a division's reward. You put out lust, you're going to get a lust reward. You put out something spiritual, you put out patience. Guess what? That's how you learn to develop patience. I could be patient with them, Lord. What's reciprocated is the Lord is patient with you. I understand their struggle, Lord. He understands mine. Lord, I forgive them. He'll forgive you. I can't forgive them, Lord. He can't forgive you. I can't be patient with them because I'm tired of them. He can't be patient with you. What you put into it is what you're going to get out. That's what that's saying. Whatever you're willing to give, if you want to give stubbornness, you're going to get a stubborn reward. If you want to be disobedient, you're going to get a disobedient reward. That means that stuff is going to happen to you. You might get blessed in the midst of it, but guess what? Somehow you'll lose it because you got a disobedient reward. That's how God moves. And see, as your brother's keeper, you got to tell him, you're moving the wrong way. You're falling short. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You got to tighten up. Hallelujah. For the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses will reap from flesh ruin and destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to not plant seeds in cursed soil. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help us, Father, to be cognizant, Father, of the soil that we plant in. Thank you, Jesus. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that were shared for those that are understanding what you're doing in their lives like now, Father. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you will continue to reveal to us areas where we can tighten up, Lord. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll continue to work unity in our body. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll continue to build us up, Lord God. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll finish that which you started. You started a good and a great work, Lord. And I'm praying right now, as I'm praying, you're invited to come to the altar. And for those of you that need prayer, you might still be rough around the edges and need some prayer. You might need to come and spend a little time with the Lord and to surrender your circumstances and your situations to him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you're still on the throne and your extraordinary patience towards us, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. But that same grace and that same mercy that you've shown, Lord, teach us and help us, Lord God, to duplicate it, to walk in it, Lord God. Help it to be manifested, Lord, not only today, but, Lord, moving forward, Lord. Help us to possess the same grace and the same mercy that you have towards those that need you. Help us to always remember, I am my brother's and my sister's keeper. In the name of Jesus, we thank you this afternoon. Amen.